Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. At the end of our last passage, our author began a section about the importance of faith in our lives. And today we come to the famous Hall of Faith chapter as he develops this teaching and expands his ideas. Let's look at our text and see what we see here. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony: he pleased God, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had been called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the passing than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies of peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. If God were a stockbroker, some might accuse him of insider trading, just depending on how you look at things. He has these incredible spiritual blessings and riches that he makes publicly available to anyone. He knows what's going to happen in the future. And then if we go to him, he gives us privileged information so that we can get a monumental return on our investment with him. All we have to do is buy in. And the buy-in, according to the scriptures, is faith. It's not works. It's not status. We buy in with faith. Faith as a topic is very significant in the Bible. Certainly, this chapter is a big example of that. But if you look at some of the just the plain statements made about faith throughout God's Word, you quickly come to the conclusion that it is a significant and an essential part of our lives. It's not something to be passed over lightly, but something that is absolutely essential. The Bible says that we're to walk by faith. The Bible says we're to live by faith. We're to add to our faith. We're to grow it in our lives. It says by faith we're saved. In the Gospels, by faith people were healed and made well. And as seen in verse 6 of our text, this is a big one. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's a big deal when looking at a biblical topic. At the close of chapter 10, we were compelled by the author to live our lives by faith. Remember, it says the just shall live by faith. And at the beginning of chapter 12, we're going to be told again to run hard toward the finisher of our faith and have our faith finished by Christ. And now in between, we have chapter 11, which is a detailed examination of what faith is and how it works in the lives of God's people. Warren Wiersbe boils it down very well when he writes, "Faith is confidence in God that leads to obedience to God. True faith is based on what God says and is demonstrated in what we do. People with faith do things for God, and God does things for them. Faith is not a luxury, it is a necessity. It is for common people and not just great leaders. We need faith for worshiping as well as for working and walking, waiting and warring. In any area of your life where you ignore faith, you will sin." That's quite a statement. Now, the flip side of that last statement about ignoring faith, and you know, I would agree with that. Any area of your life where you ignore faith, you will sin. Well, the flip side of that is any area of your life where you walk in faith, then God will give you a reward. You will receive reward from the Lord, a return on that faithful investment. That's what's seen in this collection of examples and stories that start from the dawn of history up until the time of Christ. Because God knows the future, and because he is a rich rewarder, and because his desire is to extravagantly lavish his abundant spiritual blessings on us, he lets us in on the secret that there is a guaranteed return on the investments that we make in him. And this is these are a bunch of testimonials to us of people who chose to buy into God's plan, buy into God's will by living a life of faith, and the returns that they received on that investment. And you look at these stories, and there is what's great about them is that you can see that these heavenly principles that we are talking about and learn about and study, they apply to anyone and to everyone who is willing to live a faith-filled life. If you will pursue God, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You are going to be blessed beyond measure with a spiritual inheritance that cannot be found anywhere else in the world. Look at these stories. Some were in palaces, some were in pastures, some were moms, some were harlots, some were warriors, some were philosophers, some were temple workers, others were foreigners, some had very dangerous circumstances, some were blessed with relative physical comfort, some people lost their lives, some people saved their lives. There's a huge spread when it comes to the differences of these people's backgrounds and circumstances, but here's what's common to all of them. When you look back on their lives through history, you see that every one of them was defined by their faith in God, and they were directed by that faith. And in the end, God said that, "I'm pleased by that, and they will receive the return that I want to bring to them. They will receive the reward." And along the way, they received other things like, you know, protection and strength and help and direction. But in the end, he says they are going to get to the city whose builder and maker is God. But all of these people, their faith defined them and it directed them. And it propelled them forward into the will of God. And because they were in the will of God, he was able to then do things in their lives that he wanted to do to bless them or protect them or make them a testimony. Because they chose to be faithful and walk in the will of God and believe God and do things for him, then he was able to do these incredible things. And now, kind of really concentrated list towards the end where it says, you know, they became valiant in battle and they had strength and this happened and that happened. And it was because the people propelled themselves into the will of God through their faith. Because of that, these people in this list were able to rise above human understanding and they saw everything differently. You look at a guy like Moses or you look at a guy like Abraham and you see that because of their faith, they looked at life differently. They rose above human understanding. When an Egyptian would come to Moses and say, "Don't you want to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter?" And he says, "Yeah, no, I've got a whole other thing going on. I'm looking at this completely differently. I've got a completely different understanding." And at the very beginning of the chapter, it says, hey, we understand life. We understand our thoughts. We understand by faith because we understand who created all things. And you see the other benefits and the other thinking or the other mindset of these people in this list, they weren't afraid of the threats they received. It didn't matter where they found themselves. Their circumstances really weren't that important. And even when it didn't seem like their lives of faith were paying off, they still had a confidence in the hope of heaven and a confidence in the insider information that God had given them. And of course, they didn't walk perfectly. All of these people listed had some serious missteps, and a lot of them are recorded for us. There were times of weakness and sin. But you know what? Their sins were committed when they stopped living by faith. It's when they stopped thinking that way and doing life faithfully that they started sinning. We think of Abraham when the famine happens and he looks at his circumstances and he realizes, man, I got to deal with this. You know, I got to deal with this on a human level. And when he stops walking by faith in that moment, that's when he goes to Egypt and commits his sin. You think about Sarah. She's laughing at God's prophecy. She's like, I don't believe that. I don't have the faith to believe that. And you think of David. He's listed in this list in that weird section of his life where he goes and he's living with the Philistines and he becomes like a raider and he's killing all kinds of people for no reason. Again, that's because he lacked faith in that instance and decided he was going to take his safety and his protection into his own hands. And so they didn't walk perfectly, and their missteps happened when they were weak in faith. And looking back on their lives as a whole, however, seeing them through God's eyes and through history, we find that these people really were defined and directed by faith in the Lord. And that faith, because it was active, it wasn't just intellectual, their confidence in God caused them to do things for God and to be in his will. It touched every part of their lives. You look at a guy like Abraham or anybody in this list and you see, okay, once they started walking in faith toward God, every part of their life was touched by that. Where they lived, how they worshiped, how they parented, what conquests to go on or to not go on. In some cases, what their funeral arrangements would be or even what name they would go by. Those are a couple of interesting sort of caveats thrown in there. You know, Joseph said, hey, my funeral arrangements are being made based on my faith in God. Or Moses, he says, yeah, I'm not going by this name that I was brought up with. I'm going by this other name because of my faith in God. Everything in their lives was touched by their faith in God. And it was all focused on the idea that Christ will return. And when we think about that, we need to apply that to our lives and focus our lives and let that idea touch everything in our lives, that Christ is going to return. And I mean that in two ways. First, he's going to return for us and bring us to heaven, either in the rapture at the end of our lives. He's going to bring us to our real home in heaven. He will return for us. And he will bring a return on our investments. Christ repays. So that's an important thing to remember. When we invest in worldly things or when we invest in things that aren't godly, the return, we're told in the scripture, is fire. He says, well, listen, you're going to get a return on that investment when you stand before, you know, the bema and to receive your reward. And the return on those investments is fire. They're just going to burn up. You're going to get a nice little ash pile for it. But when we invest by faith in our lives in the Lord, then the return is a great reward, the inheritance that this letter has talked about in earlier chapters and we've seen. Last week in chapter 10, we read verses 37 and 38, which say this, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." These are powerful statements that God is making in his word. In just a little while, the Lord will be back, returning not only for me, for my life to take me home, but also bringing a return for what I've done with the days that I've been given. And so we should think about our lives today in light of the idea that Christ returns. He's going to return for me. He's going to bring a return for the things that I do and for the life that I live. And we should also think about, how faith is touching every area of our life in light of this list of these great heroes of the faith, or in light of the parable of the talents. The master there, he calls his three servants forward, gives each of them a certain number of coins, gives one guy 10 coins, one guy 5 coins, one guy 1 coin. He says, I'm leaving. I want you to invest. I want you to do something with these coins. Two of them did as they were told, but the third, of course, wasted his time. He buried his coin in the ground. There was no investment, and when the master returned, he wasn't pleased at all with what that third servant did. Much the contrary. And so as we think about that, we should again remember that Christ is going to return as our master, and it is unacceptable for us to not invest our lives in the Lord by living by faith. And when we choose to live by something else, when we choose to walk by something else, by intuition or anything else, then it's unacceptable to the Lord. He says, no, you're supposed to live by faith. You're supposed to walk by faith. You're supposed to please me through faith. And because without faith, it's impossible to please me. It's unacceptable. Because first of all, we've been commanded to do it. Secondly, living by faith is going to guarantee us a huge payoff, according to the Bible. The third reason we should live by faith is that we're told here in our chapter that it's the only way we can please God. And fourthly, living a life of faith is the only way to receive a proper testimony from the Lord. And you see that a couple of times through this chapter. It says, hey, these people received a testimony from God because of their faith. That's the way God used them and used their lives in order to minister to other people and in order to spread the word of God's goodness. But again, faith doesn't just mean knowing something. It means doing something too. God asks us to buy into his plan by mortgaging our lives and depositing them into his account, into his hands. That's the way that we buy in. Think about it this way. If Steve Jobs had found you somewhere in 2005, in a parking lot, and he showed you his time machine. He says, hey, I'm Steve Jobs. I built right before I die in 2012 or whenever, I'm going to build a time machine. I call it the iTime machine. And I've come back here to 2005. I'm from the future, and I've come back to tell you that you should buy as much Apple stock as you can today, because if you wait 8 years in 2013, whatever you invest in Apple in 2005 will be worth 10 times what it is in 2013, which is true. If you bought one share of Apple stock in 2005, if you cash out today, it'd be worth 10 times what you invested. And so you might think, well, I don't know, this is probably just a crazed hobo with, you know, a thing. But if he took you on a ride in this time machine and he showed you, and he proved it to you, and then brought you back to 2005, what would you do? Go about your life in a normal way? You'd sell everything. You'd be like the pearl of great price. I mean, you'd probably take out a second on your house or sell your house and sell all the junk in your garage so that you could grab up as much Apple stock as you could. Why? Because you know, man, in just a short time, in just 8 years, it's going to be worth 10 times whatever I'm paying in right now. It would be foolish not to make that investment given that situation. When we look at the Bible and see what God has said, and we see what he's done in our own lives, how he has proven himself, he's proven himself to us that he is real and that he is powerful and that he does the things he says he's going to do. And when we see the promises that he's made in his word, and when we see the testimonies of all these people in the Bible and the people around us, all these testimonies that he's put on display, there is no reason for us to not live a life of faith before the Lord. There's no reason for us to hold back any part of our lives and bury it in the ground of this world in case the Master doesn't really come back. We know he's coming back. We know he guarantees a return on our investment. And we know that if we don't walk by faith as Christians, we cannot please God. We're going to sink down into the water like Peter did when he stopped walking by faith on the water out there to Jesus. And the idea is this. Listen, our lives are the talent. It's not that our money is the talent. Jesus, in that parable, no, it's that your life is the talent. Your life is what we're supposed to be investing. And the world, this world, the Bible says, isn't worthy of us. It says, man, don't bury your life in this world. It's not even worthy of you. Instead, soon and very soon, the king is coming. And since that is true, then the substance of our lives today should be faith and the activities of faith. Our faith in Christ should touch everything that we do so that our lives are being spent, propelled forward in God's will, so that when he does come with his return, it will be as wonderful and magnificent and large as the Lord wants it to be for each of us. Amen.